It's a showboat. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. I don't know if this is going to turn out or not. This is a show that is... I am on the boat this morning. I'm actually on the boat. And if you can hear in the background, you might be able to hear the clanking of halyards and seagull. I haven't heard a single seagull out this morning. Weather is not probably good enough for them to be off flying around. However, I am on the boat right now. I probably will be on the boat for a little while. Hopefully, for most of the day, I'll be on the boat, and then I'll be heading to pick up my dogs from the kennel. I had to be gone on this trip, and my wife is gone at the same time, so it's kind of a weird deal. So I've got to pick up the dogs at the kennel later today and head back to my house. Hopefully today, if I can get back to them before they charge me for another day. Even if they do, I'll probably still... They kind of have you over the rocks, because you know you're going to want your dog, even if you know, no matter what. They make you pay for an extra day if you're there beyond 3 o'clock or whatever. It's like checking out at a hotel. So, which I think is ridiculous. But so I'm going to tell them, and I'm going to be there, probably be there this afternoon, this evening, before they close, hopefully, and be able to get the dogs. Pick them up, head home, and then spend a few days at home. And I head back out again, I think, on Friday, something like that. For a couple days. Not for very long. I get to have Sunday and Monday off, which is the holiday weekend. The 4th of July weekend. So I'll be celebrating that. But the big thing I'm celebrating right now, today, this morning, right now, which is something you should know about, is what's in my cup. And you're never going to guess. You will never guess what is in my cup this morning. It's I could give you 1,000 guesses, and you probably wouldn't guess. Not without any hints, anyway. But I'm going to give you a big hint. I have chai in my cup. Now, the big thing here that you would never guess is what else is in my cup. What else is in there with my chai? Yummy. Guess what it is? It is nothing. I have nothing else besides chai in my... I don't have any creamer. I have no creamer. I forgot to get creamer. I got in about midnight last night, and I just forgot to get... by the way, it's 9:46 already, Eastern Standard Time. It's 8:46 Central Time, which is the time I'm on right now, which is why I'm more wide awake than normal. But I also have to be getting ready to go here before too long. So I've got... a few things I need to get done on the boat here, and then I need to be on the ready. I might have to take a quick dash to Chicago. I'm not sure how it's going to work out today. I don't think I will have to do that, but you never know what they're going to do. They could pull this on me. They don't know either. They don't know. That's the problem. They don't know. So I don't know. They don't know. Nobody knows. So I'm kind of on a standby situation here, just in case they need something. And so I'm sipping on my chai and talking about the world of politics. I want to get into this whole thing with what happened with the Russian coup. The news media is all over this thing. And if you notice the people who are pushing a certain narrative, a certain agenda, those people are usually, and it seems to be, they are the people who are very pro-war. Now, one of the things that I've heard on Sky News Australia this morning really aggravated me. And I actually made a comment. I commented about the whole thing. The guy went on about how, well, this makes Donald Trump look like a fool, because he came out and said we shouldn't be supporting this war effort. We shouldn't be giving him so much aid. And on and on and on. Here it is. It looks like, you know, they're winning the war now. And this could be causing all kinds of problems with the Kremlin. And Vladimir Putin's regime could be going down. And this guy's a dictator and a thug and blah, 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 blah. Well, who do you think's going to replace him? First of all, if you get, fine, what regime change? Who are you going to put in there? Are we responsible for who goes in there? No, we're not going to be putting in the next person. And the next person could be worse. We at least know who this guy is. He's been there for 25 years. We know who he is. We know how he operates. Sure, we might get another person in there that's much better. You're taking a risk. This is a huge gamble to try to change the regime over there. You just don't know. This is a country that the people are wonderful. But the people have been indoctrinated for so long about what the West is like and what's going on here. It's weird how we tend to think that everybody in Russia doesn't want to be in Russia. That's not the case at all. There are people who are very patriotic, if you will, about Russia and what's going on there. Now, they are kept in the dark. They are fed total 100% propaganda from their news media over there. It's almost the same here. I'd say it's 80% here. It's 100% over there. There's some underground facilities over there, underground media, you know, organizations and ways that people can access things. But over here, it is almost the same. They're trying to make it that way here by squelching freedom of speech, by making the internet a place where they have monopolies, where Google is the basically the pipe through which everything flows, through a lot of things flow. Facebook, all these big social organizations channel a lot of the media. So that has an ability to control things looming over it. So you have this kind of a dynamic here that, and who are the ones who are trying to control speech and say this is legal speech or illegal speech, or this is misinformation, or this is false information, this is fact-checked, all this stuff that's happening. Who cares? I can have a show called The Liar's Lying Show, and I could lie about everything on the show. And they're going to, they would knock me down because you can't have that show. Well, yes you can. That's the whole point of the First Amendment, is that you are allowed to lie. You are allowed to give misinformation. You are allowed to talk about conspiracy theories or any kind of weird stuff you want to talk about. You're allowed to do that because guess what? Now you have to face the consequences of that. If you lie about something and someone ends up getting hurt because of that lie, now you're going to get sued. You might go to prison. That's the consequences of our free speech. With great liberty comes great responsibility. I don't know if anybody has ever said that. That's a quote. I've said it for a long time, so maybe it's my quote, but I don't think I've ever read it anywhere. But with great liberty comes great responsibility, and we need to understand that, yes, you have the liberty to do all things are lawful. Not all things are expedient. Not all things are helpful. You might have the right to do things, but they may not be the best thing for you to do. But I will protect your right to do the stupid things that you want to do. I also will protect the right of people who want to sue you for doing something that's harmful, if you infringe on someone else's right. So what we have now is a situation, and I'm looking at this whole situation. I don't think we understand the full gamut of what happened here. I think that what happened, I know that the Wagner Group has been used as cannon fodder and they're able to do things that the military, they can absolve themselves. Putin and the Russian military can absolve themselves from responsibility when the Wagner Group does something outrageous. They can send them into places and do things that they wouldn't otherwise, because they're too morally high ground to do. This is like some pacifists I know. I've asked them, okay, so if someone breaks into your home and they tie you up and they want to rape your daughter and your wife in front of you, would you be grateful? Or would you, if you had the opportunity, would you call the police to have them come and stop this event? Or if you saw it happening in your neighbor's home? This even gets worse. This is a more difficult one. If you see your neighbor under attack by someone, say there's a neighbor next to you and it's a single mother and she has two daughters, and you watch as a man breaks into her home. Now you can, for yourself, you can sit there and say all day long, you can say, well, I would not raise a hand to stop someone. I'm a pacifist. If you're purely a pacifist, there is no resistance, non-resistance, absolutely none. If you want to call yourself a pacifist, that's what a pacifist is. No resistance whatsoever. Now, so someone breaks into your neighbor's home and you see that person and you can see through the window that person is beginning to, he's going to rape them. Are you going to sit there and do nothing? Are you going to say, well, I'm a pacifist? Well, no, I'm going to go over and try to talk him out of it. Okay, so you're sitting there talking to him while he's raping this woman. Is that what you're going to do? Is that really what you're going to do? If you think that you're so high and mighty as a pacifist in that position, in that situation, I would say you are an immoral, well, you fill in the blank. Just put whatever cuss word name you want to put in there, because that's what you are. If you don't think we're called to protect the innocent, protect the weak, you're stupid. That's just all. There's a lot of names I could call you, but that's the best one I can call you. That's the nicest one I can call you. This is the problem we have with some of these high and lofty ideals that make no sense in the world in which we live. And it aggravates me to no end when people get this way. Now, getting back to the whole thing with war. Now, it's one thing. Is every war avoidable? I don't know. I'm sure it probably is. Maybe. At the same time, there are wacky, crazy people out there who, unprovoked, will attack you. There are leaders out there that will do the same thing. And a lot of it's based on fear. A lot of it is based on, you know, their battles and their war sometimes are based on fear of not being able to negotiate, not being able to get the resources that they need, or that they feel threatened by someone else, and so they preemptively strike. Whatever it is. Or that they think that they have an ideology that needs to take over the world. This is even more dangerous. Ideologies are even more dangerous sometimes. Now, and that's where the idea of liberty, now you could say, well, you guys want your idea of liberty for every single individual to take over the world. Huh, what would that look like? If everyone was sovereign and everyone had their own ability to choose what they want to do with their life. You see, the ideology now is not extraposed. It's an internal imposition on yourself. It's called freedom. When you have someone else telling you what the ideology that you're going to believe in, or that you're indoctrinated into, you're brainwashed into, whatever it is, that's not freedom. And you may think you're free by being under the covering of some leader. That covering, that's a very cloaked way of saying being under their lordship. I'm under the covering of my leaders. Your leaders are servants. Your leaders are servants. You are covered by the blood. That's what you're covered by. I don't see anywhere in Scripture written that you are under some kind of covering by being submissive to leaders and by obeying everything that they tell you to do. I just that does not exist. That is a false doctrine based on a precept that's based on a precept. At one point, I think there was a rebuke by one of the prophets. And he talked about precept on precept, line by line, precept on precept, line by line. And he was actually rebuking the teachers. Because they build precepts on precepts. And I pondered that statement, that rebuke, for a long time. And I kind of understood what it meant. It's like, in other words, you have to base all your precepts have to be based on something. They can't be on actual truth. You can't take a couple precepts, put them together, and then form something else out of that. That doesn't work that way. I was driving along the road one day, and I was really, for some reason, I was really deep in thought about that whole thing. I think there was a song. I think it was by Second Chapter of Acts, back in the day. This is back in the 80s. Most of you kids were not even born. And it was Matthew. What's his name? Anyway, he had this one song talking about precept on precept, line upon line, and it was that whole rebuke that was happening from a prophet. And I was thinking about that song. I was thinking about that, the words of that song, and that whole meaning of that whole thing. And I looked off to my right, and I saw there was a huge field that had been freshly plowed, so there was nothing growing in it at all. And then on the other side of the field, quite a ways off, about a half mile away, there was a woods, and there was just trees, and they weren't. It was a very sparsely populated woods. There wasn't just a lot of trees, but it wasn't very thick. You could almost see the individual trees. You could see the trees for the forest, and it wasn't really a forest because there weren't enough trees. But you couldn't see it anyway. I saw the trees, despite the forest. So I had a forest. So we had I looked off to the side and I was thinking about this whole thing, and it was immediately kind of downloaded into my brain, in my heart, whatever you want to call it, that none of these trees, I guess the question came to my mind, and it was almost that, I would say God spoke to my heart at that moment and asked me a question. He said, do you see any trees growing on top of other trees? I was like, no, of course not. Trees don't grow out of trees. Trees don't grow up and then another tree grows off from that tree. That doesn't happen. I mean, vines will do kind of, there's some kind of things that kind of do that. I suppose you could say that a small tree could start growing inside of a crack of a tree. That kind of thing could happen, but it destroys the tree. And that's when that kind of thing happens. The roots don't have any place to go. So, and immediately, it was, that whole thing made sense to me. And I had a perfect illustration of what that whole rebuke was about. Trees are rooted in the ground. They're rooted in the truth, in the foundation. They have to have a place for their roots to go and grow. And the way I understand it is there is as much of a tree, most trees have almost as much root structure underground as they do above ground. Everything that you see above ground is almost the same amount of mass underground. Now, it's very fine roots. They're very small, very thin, very small root structure sometimes that spins off of the larger roots. But there's a lot of mass connected to that tree that absorbs the water, the nutrients, all the things that it gets out of the soil to make it, think about it, all that stuff that's growing on that tree came out of the dirt. All the minerals, all the stuff that's in that tree came from the dirt. It didn't just, it's mostly water and minerals and fiber and, whatever it is, carbon, protein, whatever. Carbon molecules. Anyway, so we have, so this whole thing was very, it was like immediately enlightening to me. And I understood, okay, so trees don't grow on trees. Precepts can't grow from precepts. You can't have a precept that grows from another precept. Makes total sense now. So we have, because the precepts have to be rooted in the truth, rooted in the ground. And when you start straying away from that, you start building precept on precepts, and then more precepts on top of it. So if this was this, is this with this, we can do this with this and this with that, and you start drawing all these conclusions, and really what you're doing is you're going off on a limb. Get it? Going off on a limb. So it's very, in my opinion, it's very dangerous to do that. So truth has to be rooted in truth. It can't, the truth itself has to speak from the truth into the precept that you're talking about. There's nothing wrong with precepts. The problem is building precepts or how you perceive things, your perception of something, and then you take that perception and you build it on something else. You build something else out of that. This is where cults come from. And I'm afraid this is where much of the church is today with a lot of their doctrine. They go this direction. And, of course, it spills over into areas of things like the government. And the government now, of course, has... for some people, the government is their god, is their religion. This has been a very large problem for some time now. It's been going on. And I don't know of any other way to put it. It's just that's just the way it's been happening. So... I'll let that right there. I'll just leave that right there for now. So as Anthony Brian Logan would say, I'll just leave that right there for now. What say you? Anyways, so we a week ahead of us, it'll be interesting to see how this all unfolds. Of course, the media is saying, they came close to a civil war, they came close to this or that, there's this meeting. Personally, in my opinion, I think that the military morale in Russia has got to be at an all-time low. I believe the Wagner Group, in my opinion, is tired of being cannon fodder. They're tired of seeing their men die, being the front lines, doing things that they just don't want to subject the Russian troops to. I think that it's the rebellion, if you want to call it that, when they turned the troops back towards Moscow. You have to remember, they only have a limited supply of... Now, somebody brought up something interesting today, this morning. I heard somebody say something about this. This all of a sudden, this $6 billion that was found that this accounting error, $6 billion accounting error. Yeah, that's why we have no accountability in it. How many other billions of dollars are floating around out there to help fund things that we have no idea? Well, it's just an accounting error, $6 billion. Yeah, I did that the other day too. I did that myself the other day. I was balancing my checkbook, and I just accidentally, I thought I had $6 billion more than I did, and then I woke up. So it's just weird stuff like this that goes on. And all of a sudden, within days of that, the Wagner Group turns against Vladimir. Now, I don't know how this works. I don't know where the money comes from. I don't know how you supply yourself and fight back against the Russian army. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Wagner is kind of like a Blackwater group. Now, if you know anything about Blackwater, the guy who started Blackwater, the guy who was running Blackwater, was actually asked by Vladimir Putin, actually called him to Russia to talk to him. I don't know if he went to Russia or met somebody from Russia somewhere. And they had a meeting, and they actually wanted him to train them and show them how to start a group like Blackwater in Russia. They wanted to have a paramilitary force that was non-government, it was a private security firm, fully militarized, and licensed to operate outside the country. Now, the guy who runs Blackwater, the guy who was running Blackwater, he sold the company, but he's still very, very much, geopolitically, he is a very brilliant individual. He understands what's going on in the world. He's been out there. This is a guy who personally, he takes it very personally when he loses any of his people. He was incredibly good at what he did. He hired incredibly good people. They did a lot with very little, and was running a very good organization. They got into a few things where they got into a mess with a few things, to put it plainly, simply. And but if you listen to this guy talk, I think it's Ken Williams. Ken somebody. He did an interview with him for almost 2 hours on YouTube, and I had to listen to that one in multi fast speed. Listened to it on an airplane one time, and he's incredibly brilliant and knows what's going on in the world. And I think somebody like that really needs to be involved a lot more in our strategic planning, our military operations. The guy could be the president. I mean, he's in terms of geopolitically, and even economically at home, I think he understands things very well. He's been a big businessman. I mean, he's been dealt with in hundreds of millions of dollars. Billions, actually, and he's seen what's going on with the world. He can do a whole lot with very little. Understands the government glut, the waste, the spending, the military industrial complex. Sees it for what it is, and I think he's doing an incredibly awesome job of keeping that information collated. And he's just a brilliant individual. And he was running Blackwater, and they called him over to Russia to do that. He flat said no, I'm not doing that. He could have made billions of dollars doing that, and he turned it down just simply because he's not going to get involved with those guys. That's interesting stuff. But that the Wagner Group, and then soon after that, the Wagner Group stepped up, and that's what they had. They found somebody that would step up and do that within their own country. Apparently, they just decided to do it on their own. Found somebody to run it, and they started up doing it. And of course, that is now the Wagner Group today. And that's what they wanted. They wanted a hit squad. They wanted something outside the government they could blame everything on, or that they could use to commit atrocities that they wouldn't have to get involved in, supposedly, theoretically. So, folks, that's about all the time I've got today. Unfortunately, it's going to be a fairly short show, about a half a show as normal. So you're going to I'm going to give you this one for half price, just because of that. But in the meantime, folks, I hope you have had a good day. I hope you will have a good week ahead of you. That's my bilge pumping out. I want to continue to raise up the families of those that lost loved ones in the submarine disaster. It was very sad situation. I'll talk more about that as the week goes on. But in the meantime, tomorrow morning will be a fairly normal show. It'll be very early if I get to do one tomorrow. I've got a lot to do in the morning early. I'll probably get up early and do a recorded show. And then I've got a breakfast thing I need to go to, and then a couple meetings with some people, and then I've got some other stuff to do. I got tomorrow's going to be a very full day. Let's just put it that way. Lots of stuff going on. So I will probably be working very hard on my days at home this week. But so anyway, I will just leave you with a blessing that the rest of your day is good and the rest of your week is good, and that you're doing yours and everybody else's, and not just yours, but everybody's is living the life that they want to live, and that they should live. They should understand the life that they have before them. Anyway, God bless everybody. Have a good day.